The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome to NFL Live. Happy Thursday to everybody. Hey, in moments, we're going to tell you about Le'Veon Bell, a landing spot that would make the most sense for him. Dan Orlovsky is here, and as you can see, Adam Schefter and Marcus Spears with us as well. So much to get to, so let's get right to it, Shefty. You got some big top stories around the league. What do you know, starting with OBJ, Adam?
Well, OBJ sent home today from the Browns practice. They said he was sick, not feeling well. The NFL on a conference call later today said they're going to be more proactive about sending players home if they're showing certain symptoms. Not saying that that was the case with OBJ, but that's clearly something to watch here in the coming days with Odell Beckham Jr. And the Atlanta Falcons shut down their training facility today after a positive test of a player yesterday and a positive test of a personnel member today. Sounds like they're going through the testing and contact tracing to determine where it all started. But from my understanding, if no further tests come back positive, they could be reopening tomorrow. And the New England Patriots had back Cam Newton and Stephon Gilmore at practice. Both players coming off the reserve COVID-19 list, both on track to play Sunday against Denver. Both probably wouldn't have played last week against the Broncos, but because the game was rescheduled, it gives Cam and Gilmore a chance, Laura.
Yeah, that's kind of a funny note because Cam ended up not having to miss this game as a result. To Shefty's point, he's with us all day long. Marcus, let's talk about Cam. Back in practice for the first time since October 2nd. What do you expect out of him coming back after all that time off?
I expect him to have success. Look, he was out a year and a half before he first played and reminded everybody of why the other 31 teams in the league should have signed him or had given him an opportunity to sign with the teams that were quarterback needy. Listen, Cam got a break. That's all this was. He got a break. He was playing well. Josh McDaniels was rolling with him at quarterback. And we saw New England against Kansas City. I want to take people back to that. If Cam Newton would have been in that game, it's quite possible that the New England Patriots would have been able to pull that victory out with the way they play defense. So I expect them to pick up right where he left off, and he was playing tremendous and working himself into a new long-term contract with some team in the NFL.
Yeah, two things, Marcus. First of all, you talked about that break, right? I would say the hardest part or, like, the worst part with body feel-wise training camp was, like, the second or third week of pads. Like, after you got pads on, you started getting hit a bunch, you played a couple games. That's when your body would feel the worst. That's why they kind of transition third preseason game into the season, get guys their breaks. That's exactly kind of the timing of Cam getting this two-week time period away from playing games. So the reality is, like, I'm sure his body really relished that opportunity to have that time away. And the second thing is, we've made a huge deal about Cam Newton in this offense. And all of a sudden, like, they start this season, there's some success, right? But this was an opportunity as well for the Patriots to self-scout with Cam Newton. Hey, Cam, while you're away, let's look at the stuff that you really like that we're doing. Maybe there's some stuff in our quarterback run game that you don't like. Oh, you know what? In the zone read package, it was actually better when Cam was running it to the field, not to the boundary. And then in the pass game, like, did you like working in between the hashes? Was there guys that you liked in your matchups one-on-one? So remember, this is an organization that wastes no time, absolutely no time. And so I actually think that there will be some benefits coming out of this for Cam and the Patriots. Healthy body, self-scouting, and they'll be better off, at least on the field-wise, because of it.
Yeah, important to point out that Cam Newton, the reports did say he was asymptomatic despite having that positive COVID-19 diagnosis, so certainly it's much more difficult for other people who do have symptoms. Let's get to another big top story of today. It's now been a couple of days since the Jets released running back Le'Veon Bell, and certainly the financials factor in here, but he still hasn't signed with the team as we head toward the end of this week. So our own Jeremy Fowler tweeting the latest on Bell today. He's writing that he's planning to sign with one of three teams in either the Dolphins, Chiefs, and Bills, that a decision could come as early as today. Certainly we're all over it, and Shefty with us all along too to tell us if that does happen. But let's talk about those three teams as we carry on here. The three teams there, the Chiefs, the Dolphins, and the Bills, Shefty, Why would each of those teams make sense for Le'Veon? So take us through each of them and tell us what makes sense.
Well, pretty simple here, Laura. In Kansas City, he would get to play in a Super Bowl offense on a Super Bowl team for Andy Reid, would basically share work with Clyde Edwards-Helaire. You could see how that would work out, and it would make him shine on a one-year deal when he would be scheduled to become a free agent again after the season. Buffalo, similar story, right? The Bills are a tough, gritty team. They could showcase his abilities with Devin Singletary behind a good offensive line there in Buffalo. A winning team would give him a chance to win there as well. In Miami, he's from that area. He could live at home, not pay state tax, work for the Dolphins, essentially have his skill set highlighted there once again, with them leaning right now on Myles Gaskin. Might have the greatest role in Miami of any of the other teams, but would seem to have a better chance to win a Super Bowl in Kansas City or even Buffalo.
Yeah, the no taxes in Florida, a good point there. What do you think, Dan? What makes the most sense as a landing spot for Le'Veon Bell?
This is easy. Listen, everyone close your eyes, right? And Chiefs fans, you'll love this. And if you're not a Chiefs fan, you're going to be miserable about this. But close your eyes and just imagine the Chiefs breaking a huddle and you got Travis Kelce, Tyreek Hill, Mecole Hardman, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and Le'Veon Bell on the field at the same time. Like, imagine that grouping. I see you, Marcus, with your eyes closed.
Marcus still has his eyes closed.
Just imagine Patrick Mahomes going, like, ready, break. They break the huddle, and all of a sudden, defense is like, wait, what do we do? I mean, this is a no-brainer that he should go to the Kansas City Chiefs. This is one of the most creative coaching staffs in the league with Bienemy and Andy Reid. And I've been saying this for a long time. Don't look at Le'Veon Bell as a running back. He's just a piece. It's just a piece that you could bring. I mean, imagine him and CEH on the field at the same time. Like, as a defense, how are you going to match up against them? You won't be able to. You now have a huge advantage if they're Kansas City Chiefs. The Bills are a good fit. Don't get me wrong. It's a good fit. Don't talk to me about the Dolphins, Le'Veon Bell. Like, you can't sit here and tell me you want to be a part of the winner and then go to the Dolphins. But the Chiefs just make, when it comes to, okay, how can I have the most productive individual career? It's the Chiefs. You want to talk about 10 to 12 touches a game, a couple carries. Andy Reid's the greatest screen-developing coach in the NFL, and you got a chance to win a Super Bowl. Chiefs are a no-brainer.
Listen, we all could sit here and say the Chiefs, damn it. We all know that. But the fit is Buffalo, because Le'Veon wants a bigger role. He wants to show everybody. This is his ego. Think about it, Dan. Think about Le'Veon Bell. His ego wants to show everybody that I'm still the guy, being mentioned in that top conversation along with Alvin Kamara, and we see what Christian McCaffrey is doing. That's where Le'Veon wants to be tied to, and I think he has that opportunity. And not to go against your point, but he has more usage in Buffalo in that offense, and also an offense that's already really good with a young ascending quarterback. So his workload, yes, would be more. And I understand what Kansas City is. Obviously, you go join the technically the Golden State Warriors, and you got a chance to win a Super Bowl and the things that are important. But if I look at Buffalo as a place for Le'Veon Bell to really cement that he's still that dude, he's still that guy we remember from Pittsburgh that held out and still got the contract that he was looking for.
I got a question for Shefty. I'm going to bring him back in, but let me just first point this out. If Le'Veon Bell's hoping for more running room with some of these new teams that we just talked about, he might want to think again. The Chiefs, Bills, and Dolphins ranked 27th, 28th, and 29th in run block win rate, respectively, this season. That's all behind the Jets. They ranked 22nd, so who knows? But, Adam, let me ask you this.
Big-time stats.
He does. I know, big-time stats here.
See ya.
If Le'Veon Bell does end up signing today, could he play Sunday for that team?
Yeah. Well, he should have stayed in New York, Laura, based on those blocking stats and thrived in that Jets offense. Now, again, if he were to sign with another team today, he would not be able to play this week because there would be basically 5 days of testing that he'd have to go through. So he's not going to be able to play. Now the question becomes, if he goes much beyond today, it's going to be more challenging to play even next week. So, again, you'd think that Le'Veon Bell would like to make a decision, have a decision either today, tomorrow, certainly by the end of this week.
Yeah, the second that it happens, we'll let you know. And maybe it'll happen right here on this show today. Who knows? Hey, we're getting closer and closer to the start of Week 6 in the NFL. Some games we're keeping our eye on. Marcus, let's start with the Rams and 49ers.
Jimmy G, man, we had the conversation last year. Do we trust you? I'm having trust issues, Jimmy G. I want to see you against this Los Angeles Rams defense have some success. You got pulled and put on the bench. You're making $100 million. It's time to be a $100 million man and pull your team up due to all of these injuries. What's up, Jimmy G? Trust issues.
Called him out. All right, how about the Chiefs and the Bills, Dan?
I want to see what team learned from last week. You know, they were kind of offensively played the same way, soft zones. Let's see what team commits to running the football a little bit. Don't ask so much of the quarterback. How about we run the ball, get the ball out of our hands of the quarterback quickly, short passing game, and then what quarterback can execute and play disciplined within that scheme, efficient offensively. I want to see both these offense, who learned from last week's loss.
Both teams 4-1, that's a big one. All right, how about this? Lamar Jackson and the Ravens taking on the Philadelphia Eagles. Of course, they are coming off, the Baltimore Ravens are, a win over the Bengals. But Jackson's been honest about his disappointment in their offense so far this season. Let's dive into the numbers a little bit there and tell you why what's happening is happening. Jackson showed us last season why he was the best dual threat quarterback. But this season, he's averaging 3 fewer rushes per game and a full yard less per rush than he was last season. His rushes are resulting in first downs just 24% of the time. That's a significant drop from last season's league-leading 40%. Lamar's teammate, running back Mark Ingram, doesn't think the team has quite figured out their identity yet.
We know that we haven't played our best as an offense yet, and we're striving for excellence. We're striving for better execution. We're striving for to have a complete 60-minute game, and we're striving to, you know, make sure we have our best football game coming up here on Sunday against the Eagles. We have to get better in order to get to where we want to go, which is to be champions. The 2020 Ravens are still working on our identity, and we're still working to be the best possible versions of ourselves.
Still trying to find their identity in week 6. Dan's very upset by this.
Can I jump in before we come to Marcus?
Jump in.
Like, how do you not know your identity? Like, I don't understand how you sit there and say as a team, you don't know your identity. Last year, you're the best offense in football. We know who you are. I know who you are. I know who you should be. Like, you got a good offensive line, 2 really good backs, the most explosive quarterback in football running the football. Like, your identity should be the same exact thing as it was last year. I know you miss Yanda, and I know you miss Hayden Hurst, but there should not be any questions, Baltimore Ravens. Both players and coaches-wise, of what your identity is.
Easy, Dan Wagon. Easy. Okay? Listen, people make adjustments. People figure out what you're trying to do. You lose some players. Hayden Hurst is in Atlanta. Marsha Yonda is retired. And I get it. You called that early, that Marsha Yonda missing was a big issue, and I didn't think it was huge. And possibly it is one of the most missed things in the league. But the bottom line is this. When you look at the Baltimore Ravens play, they still have 9 people hovering around the box. They are not the threat that they need to be through the air. And we're not talking about the Baltimore Ravens winning games. They'll win games. They don't have an identity, Mark Ingram just told you, and they still winning games. But the bottom line is this. When they get to the point when they're trying to win the AFC and make a vibe for the Super Bowl, they understand that they are going to have to click on all cylinders. Marquise Brown out there, not... is he a number one or is he not? That's one of the questions that I have. He's a very good receiver. I'm not questioning that, but do you have that guy? Is Mark Andrews supposed to be that guy? The identity hasn't been found because they lost some guys, but they also need to evolve as an offense as well, Dio.
Yeah, this is interesting. Over the last 3 weeks, Lamar Jackson ranks last in the NFL in completion percentage, passing yards per game, and yards per attempt. That's the reigning MVP right there. Hey, how about some NFL excellence? Well, the Manning name, synonymous with that, right? You see Eli, Peyton, Archie right there. And there might just be a new Manning that we need to keep our eye on. Check this out. Arch Manning making his ESPN debut tonight on ESPN2. It's Cooper's son, Peyton's nephew, one of the top quarterback recruits in the country out of Isidore Newman School. And he's 6'3". He's a sophomore, 195 pounds. Through the first 2 games of the season, he's completed 27 of 37 passes for 463 yards and 6 touchdowns. Chris Mortensen here with us now. You know this Manning family so well. What can you tell us about Arch?
Well, let's just trace it back to his grandfather, Archie Manning. And we always refer to him Archie and Olivia Manning, the mother of Peyton, Eli, and Cooper. Cooper is the father of young Arch. And what we know is that he probably resembles Grandpa Archie more than he does Peyton and Eli in his playing style. He's a better athlete, kind of like his dad. Cooper was a really fine athlete. But the one thing about the Mannings, they have something I like to call, it may sound corny, is Manning family values, which is be humble, enjoy the moment, and lift others up around you as opposed to putting the spotlight on yourself. And they know the challenging times that he is kind of in the spotlight in because of social media and ESPN and everything. That's something that Peyton and Eli really didn't have to go through. So they set up a certain fence around him, so to speak, where he's not doing national interviews. He's not doing social media. The recruiting thing is limited, and of course, COVID has limited the NCAA recruiting stuff. But you know, I would say let's talk about Cooper and Ellen Manning, the parents. And Arch is the middle child. He has an older sister, May, who's a heck of an athlete too, and he has a younger brother, Hyde, who's a center guard who will be hiking to, probably snapping the ball next year. And I would say that young Arch has done one thing that Peyton and Eli never did at Newman High School, and that is he started as a true freshman last year from day one.
Well, I love it, Mort. Great family tree there and lots of athleticism with these Mannings. So, Dan, let's talk about this kid. You have seen him. I'm so weird. I said family tree and I actually did it. You've seen him in action on video. What have you seen from what he brings to the table?
He looks sweet. I could just imagine Mel Kiper sitting here like, okay, Mel Kiper's big board, 2027, Arch Manning number one. Like, really big time. I was impressed with his athleticism. You know, looks like a great athlete, but you could tell like he's got great pedigree, the tempo of the football. Look at his feet, understanding like, you know, what type of throw to make. I'm such a big believer in that. Sometimes it's got to be fired. Sometimes there's got to be a bunch of air under it. Playmaking, Peyton never had that, man. Eli for sure never had that. But obviously he's a big-time player, man. His genes are amazing.
Yeah, he is. Right. Hey, Marcus, I think we might be underrated to say he's an athlete. How about this big hit that he laid on somebody?
Yeah, look at this. Going down the sideline, first of all, Dan mentioned the 2027 draft.
Ooh.
I'm telling all the defenders right now in the 2027 draft, it is a problem if you are going to have an athletic Manning at quarterback in the NFL. College is in for a terrifying situation. Mm. As good as his uncles were, we were not worrying about them breaking the pocket. Cooper was the athlete, played wide receiver, and was a really good athlete. An athletic man. Think about that, America.
Uh-oh.
An athletic Manning playing quarterback spells disaster for the NFL and college ranks.
You can watch him tonight, 9 Eastern on ESPN2. The Mannings and the Bosas, the only families in NFL history to have a father and two sons selected in the first round of the NFL drafts. Could Arch Manning expand this list, joining his grandfather and two uncles?
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
We'll just have to wait and see. Time for some smart lineup decisions informed by IBM Watson. It's always a smart decision to put Aaron Rodgers in as your starter. So as we talk about this Bucks and Packers matchup, which is really one of the most interesting that we've seen all season long, since becoming a starter in 2008, Rodgers has recorded 127 wins, including the playoffs. That's second only to Tom Brady during that span. So they know a couple of goats facing off on either side. Here's Brady about that this week.
When you play against another great quarterback, you know that that team's going to be, you know, those are the tough teams to beat because they're prepared. You know, they're going to play well on offense. You can't make a lot of mistakes. So, you know, again, I'm not defending Aaron. We got a whole defense that's doing that. But from my standpoint, what does that mean? I can play a role in that by doing our job on offense so that a guy like that doesn't have his offense on the field trying to score points. So you just can't give guys like that extra opportunity because they make you pay. So we're up against one of the best teams in the league, and we got to go out there and play a great game if we're going to beat them.
So, Dan, let's talk about Brady and this Buccaneers offense. And you just heard what he said there. But what do they need to do to attack and find a hole in that Packers defense?
This game has nothing to do with Tom Brady. This game, the two most important people for Tampa Bay's offense are Rob Gronkowski and Cameron Brate. They need to play with both tight ends on the field and 12 personnel and go, you know what, here comes the run game. because Green Bay's defense is built with coverage and athletic linebackers. The linebackers, Barnes and Ty Summers for Green Bay, they're athletic. They want to play sideline to sideline. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers got to make this a bloody phone booth. Like, they got to play this game in between the hashes, tackle to tackle, and not allow those guys to go sideline to sideline. They got to make them play face mask to face mask. If they do that, listen, the Packers defense is giving up 7.6 yards per carry in 12 personnel. 7.6 yards per carry. This game is easy. Make it ugly.
Oh, man. All right.
Yes,
so let's
Dan
hope
Orlovsky.
They're watching NFL Live, guys. It's so good. Great tapes from both of you. Let's get some injury updates now with Adam Schefter, because there are some big names you're keeping an eye on in this game. So, Sheffy, let's start with a pair of wide receivers in Tampa.
Yeah, there are questions right now, Laura, about Mike Evans and Chris Godwin. Mike Evans has been dealing with an ankle injury that's left him hobbled. Chris Godwin has missed the last two games with a hamstring injury that he suffered earlier this season against the Denver Broncos. The Buccaneers are hoping to get at least one of those wide receivers in play on Sunday in a big game against the Green Bay Packers. Evans didn't practice yesterday. Godwin has been a light participant. We'll see whether they can go. As for Julio Jones, the Falcons wide receiver, he did not practice today again due to that lingering hamstring injury that caused him to miss Sunday's game, what was the final game for Falcons head coach Dan Quinn and general manager Thomas Dimitroff. So Julio Jones right now, no practice again. And Dalvin Cook, no practice again today. Keep in mind, the Vikings have a bye after this week. So if they rest Cook, who has that adductor strain, the groin injury, that means he would get 2 weeks off to miss one game. You have to figure it's going to be Alexander Mattison on Sunday against the Atlanta Falcons.
Shefty, also, what is the latest on Melvin Gordon, the Broncos running back who had the DUI earlier this week? What do we know about his status?
Didn't practice yesterday, Laura, was back at practice today. Now, the league potentially could discipline him later on, could suspend him for 3 games this or next season. We'll see how the league decides to handle that. The Broncos have not said whether they will discipline Gordon at this time, but the fact that he was back at practice today would seem to suggest that Denver's planning to use him on Sunday against the Patriots, but again, nothing official or final from the Broncos organization.
Yeah, good time for Philip Lindsay to get healthier there, and Drew Locke returning to practice that you reported earlier this week. Shefty, we've got more coming your way. Dak Prescott was at the Star today talking with his teammates, but how has the Dak injury affected the Cowboys' chances to win the division? Well, entering week 5, ESPN's Football Power Index gave Dallas a 66% chance to win that NFC East. That number since dropped to 47%, and that's with the Cowboys moving into first place in the division with a win and the Eagles sliding into second place with a loss this past weekend. So, Dan, how different will this offense look with Andy Dalton under center the rest of the way?
Yeah, I mean, Laura, that's a great question, because at first, my initial reaction over the past couple days, like, it should stay the exact same as it was with Dak Prescott. And as I've started to think about it more and kind of, like, try to put myself in Kellen Moore's shoes, their offensive coordinator, now I've got a totally different viewpoint on it. I think as a football team, you have to go, what's the weakest part of our team? What's the worst part of our team? The Dallas Cowboys defense. They're 30th in the NFL when it comes to points given up per possession. So then as a play caller, my number one goal now should be keep the worst part of our football team off the football field, right? So then it transitions. How do we do that? We've got to be willing to give the ball to Ezekiel Elliott more. And I know the thought process is like, well, then that takes the best part of our offense kind of off the focal point, which is the passing game and those wide receivers. And the offensive line is beat up. I get all that. But I gave you $90 million, 21. Like, I gave you $90 million. Just like if you're going to ask me a quarterback, if I give him $40 million, he should carry us a little bit more. I need you to carry us a little bit more. Like, I need Ezekiel Elliott to become a BYOB. Be your own blocker. No, our offensive line's not going to create crazy holes. But what it'll do is it'll get – if I take 2 possessions away from our opponent's offense, that's 2 less possessions that our defense has to be on the field. And if we stop turning the football over, we're actually a decently efficient offense, Dallas Cowboys-wise. So – 2 days ago, I said, throw it all over the yard. And now I'm saying they got to pull it back a little bit, lean on 21 a little bit more. That pass game will still be there. But the whole goal is to keep the defense off the football field.
Yeah, D.O., you speaking my language. I'm a big proponent of that, if you can run the football. But I cannot get past the fact that this offensive line has been decimated. And you look on the outside, and that's where your bread and butter is, man. CeeDee Lamb is balling out of his mind as a rookie. Amari and obviously Michael Gallup. And even when Andy Dalton came into the game against the Giants, they still went downfield. I'm always for running the football. Don't get me wrong. And I think I could be absolutely wrong, but I think that is what Dallas' plan has been, except for the turnovers. Zeke has some fumbles, some drop passes. They found themselves in bad ways early in games, which has forced Dak to turn into basically Superman and either mount comebacks or just have to be in a position where you're throwing the ball downfield because of what you explained about that defense. Yeah, run the ball. That's fine with me. But you better make sure you can block them, because at some point, people are going to load the box and dare you to do it. And Andy Dalton is going to have to show a little bit of why he was the guy in Cincinnati for so long and why he can take the reins of this offense as well.
I get your point in the whole kind of bread and butter thing. But if I've got Ezekiel Elliott, I'm going to play in my 11 personnel. I got Gallup, I got Amari Cooper, and I got CeeDee Lamb on the field. I still dictate to a defense, like, if you guys are going to play two high safeties, you can only put six guys in the box. If Ezekiel Elliott can't run the football, I know the offensive line is bad. Don't mistake a good running game for a good running back. But if I can't get that offensive line and Ezekiel Elliott to go 5 yards a carry with six guys in the box, then it's time for me to move on from Ezekiel Elliott as well. And if they're going to come down and go, okay, we're going to stack guys in the box, then Andy Dalton has to be good enough with those receivers. It should not be very hard. Hey, my guy's better than your guy. I'm going to throw it somewhere near him. So I understand where you're coming from, but this needs to become Zeke Elliott. You be the workhorse for the next 10-plus weeks.
Let's address the elephant in the room here. The reason why you're saying all that is because the Cowboys' defense has not been up to par. So let's bring Shefty back in here. They might finally get some good news on the defensive front. What's the latest on Leighton Vander Esch?
Laura, he was back at practice today after suffering that collarbone injury in the opening game, and there's a chance that he's going to be able to play on Monday night against the Arizona Cardinals, which would be a boost to Dallas's defense. Vander Esch has battled injuries throughout the course of his career. He's had a neck injury, had the collarbone early on this season, and now with the Cowboys playing the Cardinals on Monday night and with Vander Esch back at practice today, that could be some defensive help on its way. Dallas desperately needs it.
Yeah, Marcus, does that make a big difference for them if they get Vander Esch back?
Yeah, him and Jalen Smith has a great rapport. Now, obviously, you want to know how healthy he is when he comes back. Remember, this guy had one of the better defensive years as a rookie in the league. That defense was totally different when Leighton Vander Esch and Jalen Smith were starring in it as it is right now. So, yeah, good players coming back helps you out, but it helps you more when you got a guy that can run sideline to sideline and maybe make up for some of those things that your defensive line is lacking.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Especially in the run game.
Brown Steelers week 6. Ben Roethlisberger has been cool under pressure this season, averaging 9.5 yards per attempt when pressured. That's the best mark in the league. He's thrown 3 touchdowns, no interceptions, completing 59% of his passes, and has been sacked just 6 times when pressured. All those marks rank in the top 10. But Big Ben will have his hands full on Sunday, especially with Myles Garrett lined up on the other side of the ball. So here's Garrett and Roethlisberger. In his 2 career games against Big Ben, Garrett racked up 3 sacks, 2 forced fumbles. The number 1 pick in 2017 has quickly developed into one of the league's best pass rushers, ranking 3rd in pass rush win rate since the start of last season. He looks to be a man on a mission this season, leading the league with 21 pressures and ranking 2nd in sacks with 6. So, Marcus, straight talent aside, how are the Browns making it difficult for teams to scheme for Garrett?
Els, they're moving him, and that's what you do with the great ones. Los Angeles does it with Aaron Donald, and Cleveland is doing it with Myles Garrett, and they're doing a phenomenal job finding matchups. I played with DeMarcus Ware in Dallas. They did the same thing, find a matchup. Offensively, you can create Myles Garrett having one-on-ones. If you want to set the strength away, if you want the offensive line to determine that we will slide away from Myles Garrett and we will leave him either one-on-one as a three technique on the backside, or we'll slide the protection and make you keep your back end, which is a less guy to receive the ball, which hurts your offense as well. They're using him perfectly in this defense, and he's winning one-on-one matchups and getting to the quarterback and finishing sacks. So don't just think that Myles Garrett is going to be lined up in one spot and you can game plan for him all day.
So, Dan, let's go to the other side of this. If you are calling plays for the Steelers, how do you try and neutralize Garrett's pass rush?
It actually works relatively well with who the Steelers are offensively right now. Like, they want to play the game horizontally. They want to spread you out, and Big Ben just scans the field and goes, here's my matchup, here's my matchup. The ball comes out really quickly, and it minimizes or neutralizes a good defensive end or line. Like Eagles, great defensive line. Look how quickly this ball is getting out of Big Ben's hands. They got five really good players out on the perimeter, and it's just ball out, ball out, ball out. They're kind of playing the whole extended run game via their pass game thought process. It's not push the football downfield. It's let's get it out of our hands as quickly as we can to the perimeter. And instead of asking Big Ben, especially on early downs, first and second down, to drop back and hold it, that's where Myles Garrett would get him. They're going to go, Ben, just get it out. Let's get a second and six, third down, like super easy stuff to minimize Myles Garrett's impact.
And as confident as Big Ben has been with Claypool, you got to figure that probably helps him even getting the ball out quicker this week. Okay, the last time the Browns were in Pittsburgh, Myles Garrett ripped off Mason Rudolph's helmet, hit the Steelers quarterback with it. Y'all remember this video. That, of course, led to a 6-game suspension and a loss of about $1.2 million in fines and lost game checks for Myles Garrett. Dan, how much do you think that moment factors into the game on Sunday? Obviously, Big Ben will be starting in this game, so it's not necessarily that Mason Rudolph is out there, but still part of that team.
Oh, yeah. Like, listen, this is something. You're going to see every block finished. You will see piles. If 95 is around piles, I'm imagining that they will push the envelope. They will make the Steelers offensive line will make sure that 95 knows that they are there. Offensive linemen are some of the most prideful men I've ever been around. And the reality is this, you went after one of their own. I'm not going into agreeing all that. You went after one of their own. And so this will play its part. Hopefully it's clean, but this will have its part.
Yeah, it's definitely going to affect how they play. But you better be careful poking that bear. That's all I'm going to say, because Cleveland is going to have 11 guys over there as well who all remember the incident. So, listen, Dan is right. You don't forget these type of things, especially in division rivals. They are rivals enough without the extra added incentive. When I was playing in the NFC East, it was the Washington football team, it was the Philly Eagles and the New York Giants, and we couldn't stand each other before the season started, during the season, and after the season. And I had friends play for the Giants and all of those teams. But this game will have some extra stuff, and we know it. I'm going to just put this out there, though. Be careful poking this bear. You just like you would have to be careful poking number 99 from the Los Angeles Rams as well, because it could come back to bite you. Just be careful. I'm with it. Let's have some extra juice. Don't get nobody hurt, but just be careful when you're talking about poking 95 in the wrong way.
Yeah, this is interesting too, guys. Myles Garrett, you know, certainly is going to get after Big Ben, but don't sleep on T.J. Watt in this one. In 6 career games against the Browns, Watt's racked up 23 pressures, 9 sacks, and an interception. So maybe T.J. Watt ends up having a big game.
Sounds like he's a good player.
Sounds like he's pretty good, guys. All right, time for one more thing before we go. And, guys, I'm going to stick with that game. Browns quarterback Baker Mayfield dealing with the rib injuries. You heard him say, my man Ray's no wuss, so he's still planning to play in this game. They say that he's trending well, but did not throw in practice today. So just certainly something to keep an eye on as this huge Week 6 matchup comes our way with the Browns and the Steelers. Who's next? One more thing.
Kyler Murray, what's up, man? We started off you with an MVP conversation, making plays. You've thrown some interceptions, hadn't had the offensive output that you want to have. I want to see you bounce back. We were talking about the young ascending quarterbacks in this league. We were talking about you being one of the figureheads in this league for the future to come. Get back on track, Kyler. Get back on track.
And this is not a sneaky big game between the Panthers and the Bears. It's a huge game. coming out of this weekend, one of these teams is going to be 5-1 or 4-2. And think about this. We could be going into week 7 of the NFL with the Carolina Panthers sitting at 4-2 in first place of the NFC South. This is an enormous game when it comes to long-term playoff ramifications. I'm excited to watch it.
Hey, Marcus, Joe Brady and those Panthers doing something big. It's like they had something going at LSU or something.
Yeah,
and
then they miss them.
Yeah, right. Oops. I didn't say
it. Really good offensive mind. Matt Rhule.
Can he go coach defense
Joe Brady
down there? Or...
Let's go.
Oh, listen, Joe Brady might get a head
well,
coaching
job
one of these
playing,
days. Yeah,
why?
We're going to stop this LSU hate.
Playing football?
We'll see you tomorrow on NFL Live. Thanks for watching.
They lost.
You guys, too much.